When I first met Daniel Garza, he was a good man. Now, he's a c-
Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Clean Slate Podcast. I'm Carson Phillips here with...
Carson Phillips, the second.
Say your name.
Daniel Phillips, because we're brothers.
We're married. Call me by your name, Daniel.
Call me Daddy. Anyway, what's up, everybody?
That's a different... Call her daddy.
Call
That's
her daddy. Podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to Noirvember. We couldn't leave this out.
Yeah.
Out of November.
But we just got a lot of listens last time, honestly.
Yep. So
we're shills. Yeah. So should we explain what noir is again, or should we just tell them to listen to our old episodes?
Who knows if we have the same audience?
Okay. I'm just gonna say this. So there's two camps on noir films. There's like the people that are like, this is only crime films from the 1940s to 1950s, which is like the classic period. And then anything after that is going to be called neo-noir. So we have two films for you today. One is more of a neo-noir, and one is a little bit more classic. So these are like typically crime films. They're going to have a very particular style usually. Not always, but especially the older ones. They're always going to be black and white for the most part. They're going to have a lot of shadows and cool. They're kind of like influenced by, like, I would say German expressionism and like hard-boiled fiction stories in a sense.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. I mean, there's more. We can get into it more. This isn't a history class, though, so we're not doing that. typically crime. Both of our films today are crime. Sometimes there's a femme fatale. I think both of our films kind of have a femme fatale, low-key. And then... yeah, there's just like little things that just show up in all of these movies. They're pretty fun, and they're good in November because it's like you're transitioning from spooky to cold Christmas, and it's not quite Christmas though. So we want murders, but not of the slasher variety.
Cool. All right. Well, guys, we also said to you that Nolanvember was over, but it isn't. So
we totally lied.
He has this neo-noir movie called Memento, and we also lied because this is his first rated R movie.
Yeah, this is his first R-rated film. We totally lied.
Yep.
To be honest, I've never actually seen this movie, so it kind of...
Neither have I.
Was fun. Yeah. It was a fun watch.
Okay, so let's read the logline. You ready for this one? A man with short-term memory loss attempts to track down his wife's murderer.
Is that the full thing?
Yep.
That leaves out so much detail. I mean, I guess there's like detail that we don't even know. I don't know. I will give everyone a short rundown of this without... I'm not going to explain the plot because that's really hard. But it does play off the idea of Memento Mori. But anyways, so there's this guy. I don't remember his name right now. So Guy Pearce.
It's Leonard.
Don't call him Lenny. Only his wife called him that.
Yep.
And he hates his wife, apparently. So this dude's wife is brutally murdered, and potentially other things have happened to her, we think. There is some debate over how true that is that happens throughout this film. Our narrator is unfortunately very unreliable because he doesn't remember at all. He has no ability to make new memories since this incident he had. So he's meeting all these characters for the first time as we meet them, but they all know him for whatever reason, and he tries to keep track of his memories by writing stuff down on Polaroid photos. So there's some trickiness there, but also because this is a Christopher Nolan film, he likes to play with our perception of reality as always. So we have one narrative that's black and white that is shown in chronological order. And then another narrative that is in color that is shown in reverse order. And they're both inter-edited together. At the end of the film, these two orders do come together. It's really freaking weird. There's a lot going on. I think this film requires multiple watches probably to understand. I think I got a decent understanding of it, but yeah, don't quiz me on it. So, yeah, that's the main thing. The noir angle here is, like, you have the narration, which is basically him on a phone call in that chronological order. And then you have, like, a femme fatale and our main female character of sorts. Obviously, there's a crime element, a mystery element. Yeah.
Overall, great movie, right? Yeah. It keeps you, I think it keeps you, like, it does a really good job of keeping you focused. Mm-hmm. However, with that being said, it is so script heavy that, like, it is sometimes really hard to kind of follow along with at some points. I don't think I ever got lost per se. But I also think with Christopher Nolan, he does really good at letting you know kind of where you are in the plot. So, yeah. Especially with his, like, time genre themes that he kind of has. Like, he, you know, we go in with Leonard having two cuts on his face to when Leonard has a really nice haircut to where Leonard is also, like, you know,
costume changes.
Yeah. And, or even, like, in regards to taking the Polaroid, you'll see something, you know, has been written on the back isn't written there right now, so you know that it's been beforehand.
And you're like,
so,
what? And then the girl, she has, like, that mark on her face. That's another way to tell time as well.
Yeah, so I think in Memento, Christopher Nolan does really good at keeping you where you are and knowing that for the most part. However, it is just hard to follow along because it's so script heavy. So if you, like, I think it was halfway through, I was like, okay, I got to turn on subtitles because I'm losing some stuff here. But
oh yeah, there's a ton of dialogue.
Overall, it's a really good movie. I can't say that I loved the score in this one though.
It didn't really stand out to me.
There's at one point where I got, like, Inception,
okay,
Interstellar vibes one of the scenes, and I was like, whoa. Yeah, I was like, this is sick. And then, but it was, like, towards the end of the movie where I was like, wait a second, we haven't really had that the entire movie.
Interesting.
So yeah, other than that, the characters are pretty cool. They're pretty interesting. You really don't know. I think it does a really good job at building the mystery in this movie, because what he's writing is sometimes contrary to how he's acting. And and especially with who's the main cop, Tommy or
no, Teddy. Tommy's the drug dealer.
Yeah. So Teddy is, like, you don't know if you can trust him. You don't know if he is a bad guy, because the Polaroid on the back says don't trust him, kill him. But at the end, you find out who he really is, and you're like, oh, wait a second, okay. So this movie is really good at misleading you too.
Yeah.
And
well, especially because you're seeing stuff in current time and then stuff that's in the past. And, like, it's crazy because you start with the end of the movie and then you end up back at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's really cool. So I think this movie's biggest flaw was, I don't know, it might have been too dense to figure out at some points, but to me, at the end of this movie, it gave me such a headache. Like, I was, like, sitting at the end of the movie, like, oh, what? And it was just like, but I was paying attention so hard to focus.
You know what? Maybe it was, like, a simulator of what his world was like. So now you know what it feels like.
Honestly, though, I did think about that at one point. I'm like, how would it be to just wake up and not know where you are, like, every single day of your life?
I think this might happen to me, though. Like, give me a couple years.
Anyway, so overall, I would give this movie about a 6 out of 10. What were you about to say?
I was going to say, just imagine I wake up and we have to do the podcast. I'm like, what movie did we watch? And it was like, it's the same movie every day. I just have to rewatch
it over and over. You have to just take over. Okay. All right, what are your likes and dislikes?
But anyways, so my likes is, I do actually enjoy the overall narrative, and I like that it has kind of this cycle to it towards the end. So I do kind of enjoy the ending in a weird way, because it almost feels like it's starting the movie over again, and I tend to like stories like that. Like, there's kind of like this Twilight Zone vibe to it for me in that sense. I like that he's getting all these weird tattoos and, like, trying to figure out this mystery. But I would say, like, visually it's great. I do agree with the music statement that you had. Like, there really isn't a very standout soundtrack, which is okay.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like maybe just don't have a soundtrack then. Or at least mm-hmm. make it like not stand out randomly at one point. I do kind of wish there was a little bit more closure about his wife's character. And maybe the other love interest's character. Because I just feel like we don't really know exactly what happens to them. And I'd be okay with knowing that. And then, yeah, I do feel like there's like this emotional thing towards the end that may have not been as impactful as it could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, putting yourself in his shoes and the steps he does take at the end just to feel like his actions still matter in the world, I think that is powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to remind themselves. But yeah, overall, pretty good. I would say 4 out of 5, maybe 3.5 out of 5, depending on my mood. This caught me at a good time. I watched it this morning, so it kind of hit for a little bit. As far as like a noir film, I think this is pretty cool as a neo-noir. It's got a lot of those great crime elements. You got like a dirty cop, which are all elements that I think are cool in these kind of films. I also think the whole like side story about the guy that he investigated as an insurance person was that'd be a great short film. Like, I was really invested in that story.
It was a really good side story.
So that's pretty cool. But yeah, good performances, fun film overall.
Sweet. Okay, let's move on to the next film, which is The Third Man.
Ooh. Kind of a Lifetime title.
Yeah?
Like, my mom would watch this if it was a Lifetime movie only.
Okay, so here is the logline. Pulp novelist Holly Martins travels to a shadowy post-war Vienna, only to find himself investigating the mysterious death of an old friend, Harry Lime.
Ooh.
It's over, Harry!
Harry Lime is such a weird name. I was thinking that the whole time. So something... I'm not going to really dive into the plot of this one, I feel like.
Yeah.
Even with Memento, I was struggling. This one has a lot going on too, and I don't want to spoil it. I do think if you guys are into classic films, this one's worth checking out. But something that is kind of cool. Should I just get into my likes?
Yeah, just do it. With?
This film, like, visually is really neat. There's a lot of stuff it does for its time that is very innovative. There's a good amount of Dutch angles throughout. Should I explain what Dutch angles are? So much
is beautiful. Yeah, sure. I mean, you didn't explain what femme fatale is, but yeah, sure.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, just Google it, guys. If you don't know, you're dumb. If you should know what a Dutch angle is, I feel like. If you've listened
to it. Yeah, I feel like Dutch angle is more common than femme fatale. Like
photography, too. Whatever. I feel like those are all really called common. A Dutch angle.
I mean, I guess
in photography, it's not, huh? I mean, it's a similar concept.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
It looks better in a film than a photograph.
Yeah, that's for sure. So Dutch angle, guys, is just a side angle or a sideways angle,
like canted,
like it's to show distress or mystery in a
horror
scene.
Films do it a lot. Mystery films do it a lot.
Some people now, what happens is instead of just holding, so this movie is very it holds on Dutch angles for a good part
for a
of
long
the
time.
Movie. But horror movies have taken the Dutch angle, and they do like a dolly zoom push. To a,
into the Dutch
normal
or reverse.
So exactly. So it's the what is it called? The evolution of the Dutch angle has been my favorite thing because Dutch angle is my favorite shot ever.
It's kind of funny. Well, and then in like stuff like these A24 horror films, I remember in Midsummer, it's like, oh, they're gonna do a crazy Dutch angle, and it just keeps spinning, and it's just spinning. It's not even a Dutch angle; it's just an upside down camera. And you're like, okay. Someone needs to lay off the drugs. But anyways, pretty cool evolution of filmography that starts around the time of this film. The director actually got some hate mail from a friend of his saying, like, hey, I sent you a level so you can make your shots straight next time. So this is not something people are... There was actually some cool... I think for you, there was some cool editing stuff where they edit through those bushes into another bush, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. So there was, but then there was also a lot of jump cuts.
Oh yeah,
that like,
they just learned what jump cuts were. That was new for them.
I know, but like there's this one I think where what's his name walks into a scene, and
the main guy,
it's, Anna. Yeah, it's Holly and Anna Schmidt. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he walks in and she's sitting on the bed and she's like, you know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Holly, and she gets up, but then the next scene it cuts to is she has a thing of laundry and she's walking away. I'm like, wait, what? So
I feel like
it was just kind of like distraught.
Did they just get
made me distraught a little bit?
I feel like they got a ton of coverage back then. But yeah, there's another thing too, is like the harsh lighting throughout. Like, you don't get the shadowy noir thing until maybe midway through the film, I feel like, is when it becomes more like that. But there is harsh lighting.
You kind of do, because the whole movie's black and white, so you kind of do.
That's true. I just feel like it's more intensified towards the end because it's actually nighttime. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But the final scenes, the chase scene or whatever, throughout all of the... It was such a great scene.
Honestly, watch this just for the end. Because the beginning is a bit of a slog, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens for the first 30 minutes, really. Okay, we just kind of did our likes and dislikes, I think.
Yeah, kind of. Wait, were you done? I have like one or two more things.
Yeah, let me hear them. We could just bounce back and forth.
Okay, so for me, what I really actually thought was interesting, and you might hate me for this, but the soundtrack was so funny because it's kind of an intense movie.
It's like a Wes Anderson soundtrack.
But it's a very upbeat kind of like soundtrack, which I was like, that's kind of interesting. I wonder why they chose that. I mean, it actually makes it feel
kinda cool,
not as like depressing of a movie. It like almost
because there's some
you
dark themes.
Yeah, there is.
It's about dead babies and like deportation and like crazy crap.
So that was the only thing that I thought was hilarious. The soundtrack did get obviously annoying because it's like at the end of every single scene, but I thought it was kind of interesting how they kind of themed it to where it's a really dark plot, but they really kind of have uppy music throughout it. It doesn't really get into a dark kind of soundtrack until that final scene that we see, or like maybe a couple throughout, but that like where you feel the noir, like, oh shoot, like until the
They bring that theme back again at the very end, and it kind of takes on a different meaning, I feel like, by the end. So it is kind of it's kind of weird how it works. Like, it shouldn't work, and it is weird. Like, a couple of times where you're like, why are you playing this song right now?
Yeah.
But I just saw this on the page I'm looking at. That Third Man theme became the top of the international music charts in 1950. So people were just blasting this crazy song.
They're just bumping to Third Man.
Did you like the opening credits with the...
Yeah,
the guitar looking thing, and it has the song playing.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Nothing
to do with the movie at all.
No, not at all. Just
artsy fartsy stuff.
Last thing that I really did like is the set pieces and the location on all of the filming. Like, just it is so pretty. There are so many good wide shots here. Like even the last scene at the funeral with the leading lines of the trees when the what's her name is walking down the street. And she's just all by herself, but it's just like a beautiful set piece. I think they really like all the location was amazing for this movie.
Yeah, it was great. I do have one more thing that I just want to praise this movie for. And so this is a spoiler. So if you guys don't want to know, go watch it. That's it. So Orson Welles is obviously in this movie. You see his name in the opening credits, and then he doesn't show up for so long. But before it's even revealed that it's Orson Welles, you know it's going to be him. But he's like, she's like, oh, my cat only liked, you know, Harry Lime. That's the only person my cat liked. Everyone else she wouldn't hang out with. And you see this man obscured in shadows, and the cat runs over and is like purring on his feet and stuff. And I was like, oh, shoot, this movie just got real. Because you're supposed to think this character is dead, and they're not. And I thought that was such a great reveal. I didn't expect that. I was like, who's Orson Welles playing in this? Is what I kept thinking the whole time. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, dang. The mystery thickens. Also, she sucks. I was kind of mad at the chick in this.
Yeah, she does.
I was like, you're a bad person. Like, everyone is trying to help you, and you're being a genuine bad person.
Okay, cool. Well, do you have any last thoughts on... What was this movie called?
The Third Man.
That's going to be the end of the noir episode. But hey, if you want, go go check out The Third Man. It's a rent-only movie. If you are in the mood for Memento and having your minds blown, then you can go check it out on Peacock is where I watched it. But yeah, really go check them out. Great pieces of film, good pieces of storytelling, and just movie cinematography overall. Really liked them. So now we are going to move in. Guys, we are trying very hard not to go back-to-back marathons.
Oh, yeah, yep.
For our podcast, we don't want to do a Christmas special. So we will do a one. We are doing a Christmas special. But not the 12 days of Christmas like we did last year. So instead, we are going to be doing winter movies, which can include... I already have a couple of good idea ones.
I have some good ideas too, and I think ours might clash. I think they're going to be the same movies.
Yeah, guys, we will be doing winter movies next month, and yes, starting back pretty soon, once we get back into our movie news and things, we will be doing, what is this show called? Monarch. The new Apple TV Plus original of Godzilla.
It's based on Godzilla. It takes place in the MonsterVerse, so the ones that have been coming out over the last maybe 10 years, the ones you've seen, most likely. yeah, it's connected. So, it actually has the highest Rotten Tomatoes score of anything Godzilla from that franchise.
Wow. Even minus one?
Okay, minus one is not connected, so that's its own thing. Minus one is supposed to be really good, but that's a Japanese film.
Got it. Okay, cool. So, yeah, guys, we will be doing that next month. So stay tuned. We will be doing a Christmas special. We'll probably watch, like, I don't know, three or four movies, and we'll do that as a Christmas special. But yeah, guys, so we hope to see you next month, and get ready for 2024, because we have so many good ideas coming your way of different themes, not just actor or director highlights, but we got themes on different styles of movie, different genres, and some true crime movies that we can delve deeper into.
Yeah, we might be doing a little bit of our own documentary work for you guys, potentially.
Anyway, so guys, we're really excited for 2024. There's a lot of big things coming. So guys, keep doing what you're doing. Support us. Share our podcast. Follow us on Instagram. And I think that's it. And we will keep pushing out more content as long as you guys are here for it. So we love ya. This is getting too deep right now.
Remember the reason for the season.
And 'tis the season to be eating some turkey. So go get your Black Friday stuff going, because this technically is coming out Friday.
That's true. Yeah, don't be safe. Be safe. Don't start murdering each other like the new Thanksgiving movie that's coming out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, right. That is out. Okay, guys. So we will see you next week for the start of our winter series.
That's a clean slate, mother...